Intercom's AI-first customer service platform is such an upgrade that everything else feels a little outdated.
To whom it may concern, stop. I find myself displeased with your product and wish to return it to you. Stop.
Dear customer, stop. Our deepest condolences. Stop. We're happy to assist in this matter. Stop.
The future of customer service is here. Intercom is built on AI from the ground up to deliver fast, smart customer support. Intercom, AI-first customer service.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you today by the Save America Now PAC. It's exciting. Kelly, you're going to be joining us here as the co-host.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Steve.
We have a guest that will be joining us in a few minutes that Kelly knows extremely well, and we'll introduce him in a few minutes. But so we're now taping for something that's going to be aired shortly here in October, and we're down to only a couple of weeks before the November 5th election. And needless to say, we've spent a lot of time and energy focused on the importance of this election as a true turning point in the history of this country. And that is not just a throwaway comment. That is extremely serious, that we have spiritual battles going on in this country that are really unprecedented in the United States. So one of the things that occurred recently, we had our Save America Now PAC luncheon, our last luncheon before the election at the wonderful Loma Santa Fe Country Club. And I have to have a shout out to Ted and Chelsea and the whole staff there that do just a great job and have been for the last several years. I think people come for the food more than coming for the speakers. They're just very accommodating and very supportive of what the PAC is all about. And I've talked to the general manager, and they do a great job. But we had a wonderful PAC luncheon. Kelly was there, and you were helping supervise. We had 10 speakers and about eight other people that had to be acknowledged in the audience. And to say the least, Kelly, I think we had our hands full getting them up and down.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing, though. Everybody was there, lots of patriots. I loved just the message that was sent and received that day, not to mention the delicious food.
Mike Morrell was the keynote speaker, and he presented at the end a very encouraging message about America and what we need to do to preserve it. But we had three congressional candidates, two from California, from the San Diego area, and one from Phoenix, Arizona. We also had two or three assembly candidates from San Diego and Orange County and also Riverside County. And these were folks that have gotten to know the PAC. And then on top of that, our city council representative in Carlsbad District 2, or District 1, I forget which one, was there. So a lot of good speakers, and the challenge was having a slate of that many candidates and getting them up and down within a time frame that is reasonable for the audience. We were also able to feature Dram Reese and her biblical voting guides. We had some great displays for that. We gave away hundreds of books to folks. And then we were able to distribute some fairly large portraits of events at the Republican Convention in Milwaukee. And a lot of folks got to walk out with those and had a nice logo on it about. So we had the balloon drops and a lot of the speakers in Milwaukee. And as I mentioned to folks, that's really a memento that, you know, you'll probably maybe not think about it so much now, but down the road you can point these out to your children and grandkids and say, now, this was a moment in history in 2024. So I think everybody walked away with a lot of opportunities to meet people. We were able to distribute Terry Wilde's new Christian News magazine. He's printed up in four counties, 200,000 of these. And Kelly, you and your family have been involved in helping get those distributed and processed. The good news is that a lot of folks really liked that publication. I mean, you'd think newspapers about as old a technology as you can imagine these days, but it's unique enough that people like to pick it up. The newspapers put very well together. It's featuring Bill Wells and another number of other candidates, and so it was actually an opportunity to get that launched in San Diego. He has had that publication in the Central Valley in Fresno in that area. We also have a distribution of about 50,000 copies at in Orange County. So these are being delivered to people's homes, and hopefully they will have an influence. But so anyhow, a lot of moving parts that are coming together here, as you can imagine, in connection with this. And of course, this was just a few days before the former President Trump came to Coachella, and we had folks at the PAC lunch went to the Trump rally there. I've been to two of them. Kelly, have you been to a Trump rally yet?
I have. You know, I went to the one at the CAGOP, so it wasn't necessarily a rally. He was there speaking, but he was just as good as always.
Yeah, I was actually there with my grandson. That was the one with the they had just one Secret Service, two Secret Service folks, and they had to get 2,000 people through the
It was incredible. Security. Yeah, it was a long wait.
It was a long wait. And
well worth it, though, I will say. And I heard the one out here in Coachella was a long wait as well, but everybody said it was well worth it. Had lots of friends that went to it and were a part of it and putting it together, and it was really a success.
You know, his one of the first people I've ever met probably 2 years ago mentioned that they had been to a Trump rally in Arizona like 3 years ago, and they were just going on and on about how wonderful it was. And I thought, okay. And then I also went to that one in Anaheim, and then I was in Milwaukee. And I do have to tell you, they are a thing. They are a phenomena. Because
yeah. Well, I have to tell you real quick, Steve, that my father-in-law went to one of the first ones when he first ran for president in 2015, and he came back and said to us, that is going to be the next president of the United States. He was sure of it. So I say, if you haven't been to one and you really want to be encouraged, you have to go and see him in person.
Well, I know the one in Anaheim. I remember valet parking the car at about 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 with my grandson. $100 to valet park the car. I don't think I ever paid that much for parking the car. But I got in, and as you know, the line was quite long. Stood for about 3 hours, snaking through the line. And we had paid extra money for preferred seating. Preferred seating turned out to be table 62. And, you know, it was decent, but my grandson
That's right up front.
Was, you know, about 20 cameras in the back, and in the you know, it all kind of started late, but at my table, Kelly, there were about six or eight women who had to be over 60 years old, and they were so pumped up and excited. And of course, my grandson was all over the place. Well, at the end, they were so pumped up from the message that they were standing. Here are these ladies in their 60s and 70s standing on their chairs trying to get pictures. Yeah, and my grandson was in the middle of it all and everything. But you know, how many times can you get 60-year-old women to stand on their chairs trying to get a picture of somebody?
Only
Trump. But yeah, it was great, and so it's an experience that you know, probably millions of Americans have now gone through, and it was encouraging. But he does have a presence to him, and of course, he often plays the Lee Greenwood music. on God Bless the USA and proud to be an American. And you know, I would say there hasn't been anybody since Ronald Reagan that could put a crowd together and get them happy about America and standing up for what's right. So today you're listening to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by the Save America Now PAC. So, you know, it's pretty interesting that the excitement now that we're down to a few days, few weeks, the polling I find in the media is you can have more contortions of being excited and not excited of anything I've ever seen. And yeah, you know, I'm an accountant, so I'm used to looking at statistics and numbers, but I do know enough about sampling, because we use it in the audit process, that you know, you can statistical sampling and representative sampling and outliers and all this stuff. There's a whole science of probabilities and things that are really the underpinnings of samplings and polls and whatnot. So I tend to not get too excited about the polls, whether they're really positive or not. I do sense, though, I don't know about you, Kelly, but I do sense a positive movement towards the conservative Trump campaign, and would just say that I think the more the Kamala team is exposed, you know, I think fewer and fewer Americans buy it, and it's kind of tragic in my mind that things can be as tight as they are in this country. So,
I think a lot of people are listening to each other. They're talking with one another. I'm encouraged just with the back and forth that I've had with some of my friends on the other side and politically. And we've had some great conversations just about, you know, what did the world look like? What did our economy look like? I should say not the world, but let's say the whole world, but especially the United States. What did our economy look like under Trump versus what it's looked like under Biden and Kamala? And it's really opened some people's eyes. It's not about just whether or not you like the person, you like what they say. We're really looking at what are they going to do? What have they done? Because they both now have proven records. And I'm encouraged that people are really starting to take a deeper look. Maybe I'm just getting older, Steve. Maybe my friends were getting to an age where we actually care. But I'm encouraged as well. I think people are taking a step in the right direction to do their research and be prepared to vote for the right candidate.
Well, in just a moment, Kelly, I'm going to ask you to introduce the special guest. But I do want to touch on a topic that probably he would have some input on. And that is the problems in Western North Carolina. And I mentioned this at the PAC, that I have a very good friend who I went to accounting school together, and he's the CFO of a church called Temple Baptist Church and Christian Schools. Fortunately, their church is on top of a big hill in Western Asheville, and their church is. Has been kind of a beacon to a lot of the people that are very distressed in that area, and they've been able to. The Christian school has about 200 kids. Half of them are from the Ukraine, and the Ukrainian men have been very resourceful because they do have a deep well on the property to water the soccer field, and they've been able to turn the gymnasium into really kind of a resource center. And one of the biggest problems, believe it or not, is fresh water, that the rain was so devastating that about 40 miles of water lines have to be replaced. Well, think about 40 miles of infrastructure like that. Wow. So anyhow, the PAC was able to raise some money. Our church raised money for these folks. And there's great needs in that area, and there's still, you know, there's still people that they haven't found yet. But Temple Baptist Church, Asheville, North Carolina, you can Google it and donate funds. But would be
yeah,
great.
Yeah, and I want to say too, real quick, Steve, before we bring my handsome husband in here, but you guys don't get to see him, unfortunately. But I wanted to say the company that I work for, I have my show, I host on a platform called His Glory, and they are doing the same thing. Their efforts are going towards, everybody who's been affected by the hurricane. We're actually seeing that now the weather is affecting them with the snow. And a lot of the people, like you said, they don't have power. They don't have water. It's a really sad situation. We sent a team out there with His Glory. They said it is just crazy to see how little help they are getting from the government. And so a lot of people are sending people. There's a lot of people out there with great hearts who are putting together teams, who are getting funds raised. But we need to continue because we need even more. And so just a little plug there. I know there's a lot of other organizations that are working hard to really help them out too.
Well, I think Samaritan's Purse is one of the top organizations that, and of course, their headquarters is probably an hour east of Asheville in the Black Mountain area. And that's really been Billy Graham's operation. I have a daughter that lives in that area. And you can see their trucks, their tractor trailers, and they've gotten helicopters. And, one of the biggest problems is, Asheville, to me, it was a place I always wanted to retire because I lived there for several years, and that was our home church at Temple Baptist. But there are all kinds of small mountain communities, places like Chimney Rock and Boone, North Carolina, that have been literally totally destroyed. And so Asheville tends to get TV coverage, but a lot of these small towns, and I can only imagine what the emergency first responders have had to deal with. So you know a first responder. Why don't you invite-
I do happen to know one. Yeah, I happen to know one very well. So my husband, Leif Hansen, is just an incredible father to our four boys. I mean, he puts up with me, so that's enough right there. He is a firefighter. He's a business owner. And we recently saw a need in our community here in Fallbrook. And we need some good school board members. So he is running for the elementary school in Area 2 in Fallbrook. And so we wanted to bring him on and just kind of talk about, like you said, what's going on with first responders? And then also, what does this election look like? And why is he running for school board? But just wanted everybody to hear from him because he is just one incredible man. I think he's a great example to what it looks like to be a husband, to be a father, and really to have biblical citizenship in your life. So let's go ahead and bring in, his name is Leif Hansen.
Hello, Leif.
How are you guys doing?
Welcome. I think your biggest challenge is how do you deal with your wife's energy level?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Now let's backtrack a little bit and talk about how you two met and a little bit of your history. And we know a fair amount about Kelly, we've talked about, but tell us about yourself.
40 years old. Kelly and I have been married for 18 years. We actually met at church. We both went to the same church since I was in middle school. She's gone to that church for her entire life. We met at college group. For me, I saw her, and just like any other man, I noticed exterior beauty. I wanted to get to know her a little bit more. And we actually met at Bible study randomly and through church. So we both have a very Christian, conservative background. We got married, we were 22. And we have four boys, since then. When we first got married, I was in paramedic school, since I'm now a fireman. We've just been on this journey of life. We're trying to raise a family, for 18 years now.
Well, that's, no small task. I've met your family at a, Padres event and got to meet the children and actually had a chance to talk with you so that's I've been intrigued with tell us a little bit about your movement from how you got into what it took first of all to get hired by the fire department And some of the roles that you've had and what you're doing now within the fire department.
So basically, I knew out of high school that I wasn't going to be in a desk. That's just, that wasn't going to happen either. I was going to swing your hair. I'm just that personality. I did well in school. I just, the thought of going to an office is just, no, I'm not doing that. And so I was actually like, I'm going to join the military, something blue collar, fireman, and actually the ASVAB test that we all took in high school is what really, oh, you should look into this. So I did. And pretty much put all my eggs in one basket. It happened to work out where, you know, I became an EMT when I was 19. And just basically for California, it's a little bit different throughout the nation because most of the country has volunteer fire departments. But to get on it as a paid fireman, you know, there's a lot of steps involved, getting certain credentials, EMT, possibly paramedic, depending on the agency you're trying to apply for. And basically, it's just a grind of getting work experience, building up your resume, and when a test comes up, you know, try and be there. It's a paramilitary organization throughout the country, so there's a lot that goes into it. Some people get hired faster than others, and sometimes it's you got to really cast your net kind of wide as where you want to work in the country. But it was a passion. I knew I wanted to do that. So I did start off. I was a paramedic prior to becoming a fireman, and I basically transitioned to working as a firefighter paramedic after probation, and whatnot. And what really made me say I need to start getting firefighter paramedic a bonus financially is because we got pregnant with twins. For kids number 3 and 4, and so that was pretty motivating. Like, oh, I better get on the squad here. So since then, I'm now an engineer. I drive the fire engine. I've been doing that for about just under 5 years. Coming up on 5 years in December. So I'm really enjoying it. I really love my job. Kelly and I run a CPR training business kind of on the side. I really do have a passion for helping people learn CPR and first aid training. So we kind of are expanding that just on the side, something that we hope to be able to pass on to our sons. And that kind of led us the past four years, I'd say, into a more political involvement realm. And what I mean by that is, just like the rest of the country, we're no special case. COVID did a number on us. I think there's countless number of people, parents, spouses, children, who it was an amazingly horrible, stressful time. I don't care where you are in the political spectrum. Like, we don't need to get into all the specifics, but people felt very strongly one way or the other. Yeah. And it really, my entire life, I've been very politically inclined. We both of us grew up in a very conservative Christian church going background. I've never leaned left for 5 minutes of my life. I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh on the radio in my dad's car.
There,
like,
you go.
That's where that is my roots. I'm about as rock ribbed conservative, and I'm not gonna run or make any excuses for that. That is where I stand. Kelly, when we first met, she knew what she believed, but she really leaned on me for the history of why she believed what she believed. Like, she would vote or feel the same way on XYZ issue, like fill in the blank. But I was definitely more involved of this is why. And I think a lot of people in marriages could feel that one way or another. Kelly knows more than I do now, because when COVID hit, just to go full circle here, that's when she really got involved. And it was with nothing but applause from me to see her, because she was able to see how government, local, state, and federal could directly impact your life. And it just takes one person to stand up and motivate other people to actually stand up and actually fight for your rights, what you believe in, fill in the blank, whatever issue that may be, wherever you are on the political spectrum. And to see my wife do that was really encouraging to me. And one of the reasons why I'm running for school board, I would go to these school board meetings, and go back to where COVID started. As a father, I'm just going to throw myself out there where I felt very convicted myself, where I felt I was dropping the ball. I went to a lot of these school board meetings, and whether they had to do with masks or sexual books in school or whatnot, I looked around. Only one time did I go up and actually speak, because I just wanted to see. And it was very telling to me where the amount of mothers that were there, and God bless them and thankful, and the lack of fathers that showed up.
Yeah.
And for me, and to see a lot of these mothers get have demeaning remarks said about them, basically disrespected, either by the school board or other people in the room or on the other side. Men in general don't really get involved in school stuff because we're out working. We got other things to do on a Tuesday night. Oh, I don't know, the game's on. Like, I really want to go. It's not really up our alley for these things. However, I felt very motivated because I believe that I should. If I'm going to be a father, a husband, a leader, it's a lot different if a bunch of fathers got involved and mothers versus only mothers. There's a different vibe in the room. If a father is standing up there and he's got a bunch of fathers behind him and saying, I'm going to be very clear with you. I'm not okay with you talking about this to my children. It's a different vibe. And I don't mean anything in a threatening way. I'm just saying it's harder to tell a 6-foot, 220-pound man something disrespectful than his wife.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep. Today you're listening to Kelly and Leif Hansen to talk about a number of things on Save America Now, as we're sponsoring the Biblical Citizenship Alive program. And so, Leif, let me ask you this: as it relates to I know Kelly is involved, and we'll talk a little bit about the Planning Commission and its role. But let's drop back a little bit, and for the folks that are listening. Because we have people listening all over the United States now, with our podcast go out to about 33 or 4,000 people. But tell me a little bit about Fallbrook itself and where it's located. I know the population is between 30, 35,000. Here's kind of small town America being infiltrated with a lot of left wing sounding issues for elementary students. I mean, how does any of that make any sense?
So Fallbrook is located, borders Camp Pendleton. There are a lot. I don't know the exact number. Obviously, they get deployed a lot. A lot of Marines live inside Fallbrook, if not on base. Part of Camp Pendleton's housing is in the Fallbrook School District. They may lean one way or the other. Mostly, I think it's fair to say most Marines, the military in general, lean right, lean more conservative. However, you have to hand it to the left. You have to hand it to Democrats. We are in California. Fallbrook in general does lean slightly more right than the surrounding cities. We're in northern part of San Diego County. The left, and they are organized. And this is nationwide. The left is way more organized, and they have much more of a hold on what they want to get done. I don't care where you are in California. If like you say teachers union, they're going to go to the left. So they have a backing and an organizing aspect to them that the right does not. And most people instinctively, when they lean conservative, we kind of have a much more kind of, you do your thing, like, it's not bothering me, I'm not going to really get involved, than even the left does, except the left is one who says that all the time and then accuses the people on the right for trying to be fascist. It's kind of a, they accuse you of doing exactly what they're doing, kind of mentality, where I don't have an ego with my identity is not going to be wrapped up if I get on the board of, oh, I'm the school board. I'm doing this because I love my kids. And there is an aspect to wherever you are on the political spectrum, it's not my business. I just want these kids to get educated. And I don't want left or right indoctrination on these kids. That is for you as the parent to decide. That's I don't want there to be an institutional politicalization towards our children other than loving their country. And we could talk about the good and we could talk about the bad. But right now, the left nationwide, especially in California, I think they've overplayed their hand. I do not believe that you're going to get a lot of parents who are going to sing from the mountaintops and say, oh, yes, yes, let's focus less on grades and scores of their tests and everything else, but let's make sure that we talk about this ideology here. I'm not interested in that. And I'll say this as a Christian. I am not going to be trying to promote or push a Christian feeling in the public school system, because that's not, one, it's not going to happen. And if you really want that, send your kids to a Christian school or homeschool. This is what I'm talking about, the public school system. Stick to the basics. And don't take the rights of the parents. In my household, we are Bible-believing, church-going, pray with my kids, Christian worldview parents. I'm not trying to push that on somebody who doesn't agree with me. But what I'm saying is clear the deck and just stick with the darn arithmetic, reading, writing, and history. I think when it comes to the public school system, we can stay neutral. But we don't have to demonize each other.
No, tell me a little bit about, you know, we're 2-3 weeks away from November 5th. Where, what kind of opposition do you have for Area 2? What are you up against in terms of the election itself?
So I don't know the individual personally that is running against me, but I do know that from where she is backed by the school board. And really, when you pay attention enough, you kind of get that's kind of a telltale sign. It's called the teachers union. It's not the students learning union. I'm not against teachers. I think they're underpaid, and I think they get way more flack and, quite frankly, way more credit than they deserve. You want to see a school that is doing well? You show me a school that's doing well, I'll show you a bunch of parents that are involved. I'll show you a bunch of parents that are going over their kids' homework. I don't care what grade they're in. I'll show you a bunch of parents that are taking real ownership of their kids' academic future, not relying on not treating the school as a 6-to-8-hour daycare center. And that, I'm sorry, but if you show me a school that's failing, I don't think it's fair to say, oh, well, these teachers, this is something people may not want to hear. What are you doing for your kid? Are you doing homework with them? The teacher, especially in elementary school, the teacher should say, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Hand, like, they should know. If they see you at the store, they should be able to recognize you're that involved. They know you. They know your name. That's taking ownership of your kids. I think there's a stigma that we put where I'm not anti-teacher at all. I think they have a hard job. I couldn't do it. But I think that the biggest ingredient to a successful student or academic career in a student is, what are the parents doing? Are you that involved? And I think teachers can only get so much cooperation other than just inviting you to parent-teacher school night. And like, they have an open door policy. Hey, come in and talk to us. Hey, what's going on here? Is my kid a disciplinary problem? Hey, they're having trouble with this subject. Okay, thank you. I'll go over it with that with them at home. That, parents is what make or break this. And that is part of my message where, I'm sorry, just because I don't care who you put on the school board, they're not going to make everything all right for your kid academically. However, a lot of this extra stuff that, whoa, why are you talking to our kids about this? Now that's something that, as a school board member, I could voice my opinion on.
So we're listening today to Kelly and Leif Hansen, who is running for school board in a wonderful town north of San Diego called Fallbrook. And yet it also has been infiltrated with folks on the school board that would love to teach the children in that district something other than loving America and loving God. And you know, it's a very important role. And Leif, one of the things you mentioned is that you were listening to Rush when you were young in the car with your dad. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
So this whole issue, and Kelly and I have talked about it, of having of generationally passing on with our children the importance of understanding your role as a Christian in the government and political. My dad, this was back in 1964, would take a group of us out to campaign for a congressional candidate by the name of Dan Crane in rural Indiana. And we'd have a whole carload. We'd be knocking on doors and putting up, on those days, telephone poles, the advertisements for Dan Crane. And we'd do a little town every night, and we'd go back to the Dairy Queen at night, and he'd feed us. But those are memories that got me involved in reading books, even in 7th, 8th grade, J. Edgar Hoover's book called Masters of Deceit, John Stormer's book called None Dare Call It Treason, ultimately going to Summit Ministries. But a lot of it is the importance of what you're doing for your four sons is really putting an impression on their mind that more than likely, as they grow up and get married and have families, they'll do the same thing. And that generational handoff is so critical to all of this. And my youngest daughter, we go out and put up yard signs, and certainly my other kids to various degrees. But and I'm sure in the firehouse, Leif, they have a pretty good idea of what you think. And so your work environment is another place that you can express and influence things. The church is kind of one of my pet peeves in terms of making sure that from the pulpit, the pastors are within the IRS regs, pointing to voter education, voter guides this time of the year, and making sure people understand that don't use the word politics, use the term spiritual warfare, because abortion is not a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. You're taking the life of a child. You know, transgender surgery is not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. You're mutilating children. So many of these issues are truly biblical issues. And the Christians far outnumber the left. I mean, we could easily have a very red state in California. In fact, California has more people voting for Donald Trump in the past than any other state, given the size of this state. So, you know, it's so important, though, to be doing what you're doing, not just in the school district, but also within your family. Now, Kelly,
let me touch on that.
Okay.
Because I do have, again, okay, we grew up in church, Kelly and I. I'm very open and, you know, like it, love it, leave it, whatever. I have a Christian worldview of what I should be doing as a husband and father, as a member of the community, as a leader. So my biggest grief, and this really took the scales off my eyes, was just like you said, there are many, many Christians in this country who will give you the lip service and say, oh, yeah, I believe this, or I on this issue. And I put it at the feet of pastors because a lot of people are not going to like this, but I'm telling you what I saw. COVID opened my eyes to, wow, okay, there are Christian leaders who are very afraid of upsetting their flock. And they I'll tell you one of the biggest things that just shook me to my core. The church that we used to attend, we went to most of our lives, Roe v. Wade gets overturned, regardless of where you feel on abortion. If you're on the left and you're pro-choice, okay, that's fine. I vehemently disagree, and yes, unapologetically, there's a lot of spiritual aspects to that as to why I am pro-life. Pastors, including the church we used to go to, which I'm not going to name because I don't think that'd be fair, purposely did not want to talk about, okay, there's going to be less abortions. In California, where we live, probably not going to change, but nationwide, this is the biggest social sin or policy that Christians for the past 50-plus years have been united on. It gets kicked back to states. Abortion is not illegal outright nationwide. However, let's just all agree, less abortions are going to be happening. When there are pastors who just flat out don't want to bring it up and just give praise, I'm not even saying you have to harp on it, but mention it, say, wow, like this is a good thing, something to keep praying about, like going in the right direction. And I had a pastor at our church we were very close to basically say, oh, well, I just didn't want it. Maybe there was somebody in the audience, and this is their first time. I don't want them to feel unloved or unwelcome if they had an abortion in their past. And I'm like, brother, if someone's coming to church and they're just shocked out of their socks that you're pro-life, when are you going to, like, when are you going to let them know? So it's kind of like this fear of upsetting or trying to avoid any friction that the world has deemed a policy to be political, where biblically you should see this as, just like you put it, a spiritual thing. Like, stand firm on principle.
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid to give prayer. Like, I mean, if you're a pastor and you're afraid to speak spiritual truths because it might upset somebody, brother, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, and typically it's a minority. It's a small group of people that you don't realize how the pastors attempt to, kind of reach to the lowest common denominator. And this is nationwide. There are few pastors who articulate their beliefs regardless of the fallout. And, you know, they're concerned about finances, whatever. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in our church.
On that, hold on, Steve. On that, it makes you wonder, okay, like throughout, like after the Protestant Reformation, and let's just go in our nation, okay, our nation's history. Most pastors had a second job, like they had a trade in something, and you know they were pastors on Sundays. Like they had they did something else. This is just an observation. I'm not saying this is wrong or simple or anything like that. There is a calculation that they have to see now. Hey, we got this building, we got this mortgage, we got this staff. I better not say anything that might make the tithes go down. This is a 501(c). Can you imagine if we can't, you know what I'm saying? It makes all of a sudden finances of how much, and to me, that's a, why would you set yourself up like that? And like, I wouldn't be able to sleep with myself if.
Well, it brings to mind, Leif, that who is their God? Is it mm-hmm. God or is it money?
Okay.
You know, in my accounting firm, I've had partners who were not opposed. We have some rules. We don't do any alcoholic beverages, any audits related to that, and we certainly don't do any casinos, things that clearly are out of step with God's word. And I've had partners, oh, my gosh, think of the revenue you're losing. And I just say, I'm going to trust God. He's going to fill in those gaps, and I'm certainly not going to participate in things that are going to contribute to the downfall of human beings. Mm-hmm. Just not going to happen. And I have to trust that God will fill, and He always has. I mean, He's even this week we've picked up some work, a couple $100,000 worth of work that just kind of came out of the blue. Because of our technical expertise, had nothing to do with the product that they were selling. So, you know, it's so important that we do exactly what you're saying, Leif, and that's standing up. Now, we're running out of time here, but Kelly, on the next show, I'm going to, because I'm an equal opportunity kind of guy, I'm going to ask you to talk about your planning group and what you're doing in Fallbrook. But I'm very encouraged. Yeah. That a husband and wife like this are really working together in unison to impact their community and obviously other parts of California, and the importance of training children so they see that and that they emulate that, because in the long run, it's what it's going to take to preserve the country. It's going to be generation after generation who loves mm-hmm. God, who understands the importance of a constitutional republic. And so, Leif, it has been great having you. You and I only got to chat a little bit the other day, but I think you two are a great couple, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Kelly, any final comments before we wrap up the show today?
No, I just want you all to know, see, he's the fireball in this relationship. You know, you can hear it in his voice. We both are very ramped up. And I will say this, we're just normal folks. We're just raising our kids, and we've had enough. We're fed up. We realize that it's we the people, and we have to stand up and do our part. You know, it's a republic. If you can keep it, we have a constitutional republic, and we want to keep it. We don't want to fall into communism. We don't want our kids to look back and say, what's freedom? What the heck is that? So I would just encourage people to, you know, and thank you for the kind words, Steve, but we, you know, we're exhausted. We continue to just reach out, and we have friends in our lives who pray for us. We pray with them, and the little bit that you can do here and there, it really goes a long way. It makes a difference. And when people see that you're standing up and you're fighting against just the ridiculousness in our schools, especially, other people are going to be able to stand up and speak out as well. So don't be afraid. I know for a long time, like Leif kind of spoke on that, I was afraid. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I didn't want to be controversial. And we do it with love. We do it with grace. But we continue to stand firm on our morals. We continue to stand firm when it comes to our kids and how we're going to raise them. And we're not going to allow the government to take control of our kids. And trust me, I could go on for hours about how they're trying, whether it be in healthcare, whether it be in our public schools. Anything that's public, you know, we're starting to lose control as parents. So we really do need to unite we need to stand up. But this man right here, he's really encouraged me. He's been an incredible influence in my life. He's the one that's always behind me. He's always sending me out on some crazy journey and allowing me to be crazy. And he supports me by watching the kids and obviously financially supporting us. So I can't say enough about this man. He's incredible. Vote Leif Hansen if you are in Fallbrook in Area 2 for school board, because he's going to get on there. He's going to flip the board. And we're going to see, hopefully, you know, we're going to see those numbers when it comes to, you know, you go to move into a new house, you look at the school number. Hopefully we can get those numbers up. So he's going to be there to try and work on just those basics. No more, you know, infiltrating their minds with any of the political rhetoric or any satanic or even Christian. We just want them to learn the basics. So let the parents do their job at home. But hopefully we can get people like Leif elected on a lot of school boards across California, and we can see kind of that red wave change. And we can bring back morals. You know, we can raise these kids right, where they are educated, they are informed, and they live in a free United States.
Well, you've been listening today to a dynamic duo, Kelly and Leif Hansen, from Fallbrook, California, very involved with their children, with the messages in the school system, and doing the kinds of things that Christian parents should be doing. I want to remind you that to continue to provide support to Temple Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina, as they reach out to the many hundreds of and probably thousands of people who are still struggling in Western North Carolina, and pray for them. You can go to their website, Temple Baptist Church, Asheville, North Carolina, and donate funds. We've raised several thousand dollars, but you know, money in those areas takes goes pretty quickly. So anyhow, another great program, and we'll look forward to talking to everybody again next week.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.